Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, starting verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him. So tonight for a few minutes, we're going to look at this. And I want you to think about, is God your God? Is God truly who God is? Because we just read in John 6, verse 66, some of Jesus' own disciples walked away from him. We see in Matthew, Jesus asked his disciples, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter's response, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know when we read the Word of God, there is one God. We know that Jesus Christ is that God. We look at the Word of God, John 1, verse 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in four verses alone, we should have no doubt of who Jesus Christ is, who the Word of God is. The Word that God has said, the Word of God that we have is the true Word of God. So the question is, do we actually believe that and accept that, or do we just like to say that and then use it as our mouth but not actually mean anything? Turn to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, this verse has... Me and Brother Roger, we were at lunch today, and we talked about verses that we wish weren't in the Bible, verses that we don't like in the Bible. This is one verse that, I don't know, I used to not like. I kind of go back and forth how I feel about it. 1 Kings 18, 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, and if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Right now, you have to make the choice. Is God God? If you're going to say, yes, God is God, you know what that means? You have to actually do something about that. You can't just say, God is God, and then walk away. Because if you don't actually live it like God is God, that Jesus Christ is God, then you're saying, I don't believe that God is real. I don't believe who God is. Because we literally read five verses or something like that. How simple is it to know who God is and the Word of God that he says? Okay, it's that simple. We read those verses. I showed you in the Word of God. Are you actually going to do anything with it? I look at the disciples in John 6. They heard everything that Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ himself was with them. They walked away. You know what that meant? God wasn't truly their God. So my question to us is tonight, is God truly God? What are you going to do about it? Because if God's God, follow him. And if God's not God, then follow whatever else you want. It's that simple. God makes it as simple as possible. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 4, There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. We read in Ephesians, there's one way to serve God. There's one God, and one way to do it. He has one set of rules. He doesn't have three or four sets of rules. He doesn't have a set of rules for Brother Nathan, a set of rules for Brother Ryan, and my own set of rules over here. It's the same rules for everybody. It's open for everybody. Do you trust God to lead your paths and to follow his rules? It's that simple. There's simplicity with the Word of God. I kind of like how Jesus Christ made it as simple as possible, because I don't need any confusion. I don't have to go back and forth of maybe this, maybe that. I go read after a man. They give me three different answers of what it could be. Jesus Christ doesn't give us any question of what it is. He says, this is what it is. You have to make the choice of if you're going to accept it or not. So as we look through these scriptures tonight, I want you to keep thinking that question. If God, then follow God. If Baal, then follow Baal. Do you follow God? Is God truly your God? Turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So I read this verse because I want to point out to you, if it's not God's way, you're going man's way, and you're going to lead to death. Talk about the simplicity of God. God, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean on unto thine understandings. He shall direct thy paths. Lean onto your man's mind, you will die. It's literally that simple. We're going to skip ahead. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware by unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments, before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Verse 24, commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Nothing that God has you to do, nothing that God tells us to do is going to be lead to your detriment in life. It's for our good always. Why did he show all those signs to Israel? So they had no doubt who God was. Why do you think he gave us 66 books with hundreds of verses in each of them telling us exactly what we need to do, exactly who God is, and exactly why we should trust him? To make there's no doubt. So if you have doubt in your mind, it's because you don't believe something. You don't believe that the word of God is true. You don't believe that God is telling the truth. You don't have faith in God. I don't know what the holdup is, but I can tell you right here, it's either you believe God or you don't. And you might be upset and saying, well, how dare you say that? I've been in life, my whole life is given to God. That's great. I don't need you to say it to me. I need you to prove it to God. I don't care. You know, I have no business. I'm not judging you. I don't have the right to do that. God's going to be the one to do it. So picture yourself. Are you standing before God? What's God going to tell you? And I've been thinking about this a lot. I have had a negative thought, a connotation every time I think about the judgment of God. I think of all the regrets I'm going to have. I think of all the things I'm going to be sorry for. I think of all the things that God's going to be ashamed of me. And then I realize I don't have to keep adding things to regret. I don't have to keep adding things. I can take my life right now, make the decision, repent, make the decision, turn to God, and make the rest of my life, that judgment I stand before him, in my mind, a highlight reel of you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. How many of us think that we can stand before God in judgment and, you know, look back and say, wow, that was actually kind of cool how that happened. That was pretty great when that happened. That revival we had, that moment we had, that time I got to present the word of God, that was great. I fear that there's going to be a lot more times when I'm ashamed, can't even look God in the eye, than the times I'm going to say, yeah, that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that moment. We don't have to keep adding regrets, keep adding mistakes, keep adding things that are going to get God's anger thrown upon us when we can just do what we're supposed to do. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, at the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. We see here, there's going to be up in heaven vessels of honor and dishonor that when we stand before God. What you do right now is going to affect if you're a vessel of honor or dishonor before God. What you do right now, decisions you make, if you serve God the way you're supposed to, the way God has laid out, you can be like Paul here saying, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. How many Anybody in here willing to say that if they went to stand before God right now, they could say these words and mean it sincerely? If that's not the case, why do we keep sitting ourselves and keeping ourselves in this maintaining, I just got to keep the bare minimum? What's good about the bare minimum? It's literally the minimum. Why not go exceeding above? Why not try harder? I think, you know, I hear a lot, we hear talk about the good old days, the glory days. You know, when we had 100 churches in this place and there were thousands of people and all these great things. You know, those days are gone. Why can't we make the future better than what we had back then? Why are we in this mindset of we got to only hold on to the little bit that we have? Why don't we have the mindset of, hey, God's still God. God can still do great things. Let's make it better than it ever was. Day of Pentecost had 3,000 people join the church. Let's make it 4,000. What? But that's impossible, right? Well, here's a question. Is God still God? Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God is still God. He can still do these things. But why don't we? Well, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. First thing you got to do is you got to get into the Word of God. You got to study because it says, needeth not to be ashamed. If you're ashamed for God, if God's ashamed of you and you are ashamed, it's because you're not into the Word of God enough. It says it right there. You don't want to be ashamed, study the Word of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Shun profane and vain babblings. I think a lot of us, our lives would change dramatically if we stopped listening to every little bit of whatever nonsense that someone comes up with every single day. That little bit of humanism that creeps in with every theologian or every Bible person or every preacher on Instagram. If we just kind of got rid of that stuff, imagine how much better our life would be. If we just look to God as the person to tell us who God is and tell us how to serve God, it'd make it a whole lot easier. Because when it goes from God and man gets their hands on it and then the next man gets a hand on it, guess what? We start missing things. It starts changing things. You go down the line, and next thing you know, you're getting baptized to be saved. Yeah. Well, how do you get from the Word of God to baptism for salvation? It's because we lose sight of the Word of God. We get tired of what God says. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Jump down to verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and the prophets prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because he despises his word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are not yet gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. We see here, Israel, they kept getting God out of their way. They said, we don't want to hear God anymore. We don't want to hear what they say. So much so, that they that handle the law knew me not. The ones that were supposed to know the law of God and handle it, knew not who God was. How many of us who were church members, the pillar and ground of the truth, should know more about the scriptures than anybody else in this world, have no idea who God is, have no idea what we believe? Well, I'll just go to what Brother Roger tells me. What he'll tell me, I'll say that. Guess what? Brother Roger can be wrong sometimes. Brother Roger is a man. He can walk away from God. And if we're just listening to what he says, church will follow after it. That's why Christ is to be the head of the church, not the pastor. Ephesians 5 says, oh, just turn there. I'm going to forget it, so might as well just turn there. Ephesians 5, Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. If Christ is the head of the church will survive. When does the church start dying? The second they take Christ out of the head of the church. You go look, every single church that has walked away from God, that has fallen away from God, what were the two things that they did? They got away from the word of God, started coming up with their own ideas, and took Christ out of their head. The second you do that is the second you're going down. They're no longer a church. So how do we avoid that? Well, we stay into the word of God. We see who Christ is. We make sure that God is truly God. Because when he is God, we will do what he says. If he's not God, we will come up with our own things. We'll start becoming our own gods. See how it worked out for Lucifer when he became his own God. How art thou lightning falling from heaven? I don't think his fall was very peaceful and slow. I think it was as quick as possibly he could hit the ground as hard as he could. Well, if we start thinking of ourselves as God, go look at Herod. Go look at Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible as well. They started thinking of themselves as God. Herod got eaten by worms as he spoke, and Nebuchadnezzar became an animal for a little bit. We start losing sight of who God is. Nothing good is going to happen. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. When we don't know who God is, when we don't accept who God is, you become the enemy of God. You fight against God. I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. God does not lose. God will never lose. God has never lost one day in his life. You go read back in Acts 18. What were they talking about? It was God or Baal. Guess what? God and Baal had a fight. God won unanimously. There was no chance. There was no question who won that fight. You put God up against anything, anyone, God will win. Amen. So we can keep testing. We can keep trying. But eventually, God might say, I'm done. You've tested me enough times. You know who it is. You're just denying it now. What about Moses? Moses questioned God a couple times, and God said, I will show you. What happened that next time that Moses kept questioning? God said, knock it off. It's time to go. I've showed you. How much more does God have to show us? How much more does he have to give us that he hasn't already given us so that we know who God is? Why do we keep questioning what the truth is? You either accept it or you don't. You know what? It's between you and God. You make that choice. But quit playing games with it, because God knows the truth and you know the truth. There's no playing games with him. Turn to Matthew 16. If you are lost here today, let me take a look real quickly. All right, I know every one of you. If you are lost today, you have heard the word of God at least once in your life, because I'm pretty sure most all of you were here last week or the last Sunday or some other time. So you know what the truth says. You know if you are lost, you're dying and going to hell. You need to be saved and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, hold your finger here. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know how to be saved. You know you need to be saved. You can keep questioning, well, I don't know, maybe. There should be no question or no doubt about it. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Make your call and election sure. We heard it this morning in the message. You are lost. You don't know if you're saved or lost. You can know and you will know if you ask God. God will let you know. So you know you need to be saved. Quit playing games with God. You don't have time to play games with God if you're lost. If you're not sure about your salvation, you don't have time to keep playing the game of, I don't know, maybe, I could be, we'll see. If you're playing the game of, we'll see, you're going to lose. If you're playing the game of, I don't know, there's going to be no excuse for you when you end up in hell. It's your choice. So quit playing games with God and thinking, well, I don't know. You haven't told me that part. You've heard the word of God enough times that you know who God is. You know you are lost and you know you need to be saved. I don't care if it's been 30 years that you've been a church member. I don't care if you've spent your whole life. I don't care if you have the greatest testimony I've ever heard. If you are lost, you know it and you need to be saved. It's that simple. Now, back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as it went into the way, a certain man saith unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he saith unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. The Lord said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If you want to serve God, great, do it. Don't question, don't come up with, well, I want to do it, but I got to do this. I want to do it, but I have to get this done first. No, just do it, and everything else will get figured out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knows what you need. God knows what happens in life. Just do what he says. Everything else will get figured out. You know what that means? It means you have to have a little faith in God. And so if you're not willing to just do what God says, you don't have faith in God. You don't believe God is who he is. It really hurts when we think about it that way. When I read these verses, I don't like them because that means there's no excuse. It's all on me. It's all on you. You can blame others. You can come up with excuses. And Ezekiel 33 tells us they will get judged for that. But whose fault is it still? It's your fault. It hurts. It hurts knowing what I have to do. It hurts knowing that I have to make sacrifices. But if God's God, you'll make those sacrifices. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you want to serve God, and you want God to be your father, guess what that means you have to do? Sometimes it means you have to cut some stuff out of your life. Are you willing to cut that out? If you're not, then you don't believe God is who he is. You don't love God how much you say you do. You can say up and down, swear, and put your hand on the Bible, take an oath, say, I love God with all my heart. What does it say you have to do? If you love me, keep my commandments. So that means you might have to sacrifice some stuff you really like to do. Sacrifice the things you really want to do. But here's the question. What's more important, God or that? We will sit there and say God is more important, but our actions will tell a completely different story. Just like Israel flattered God with their mouths, but then prevented the Holy One of Israel. It's not new. You're not special. You've literally been going on. That's been the status quo since Adam and Eve in the garden. It's literally the same thing that they had. So you're not special. God knows who you are. So quit playing games with God. Quit questioning one thing or another. Quit living your life defeated because, oh, God is so oppressive. God's not oppressive. He's just trying to save you from yourself. That's all God's trying to do. He's not trying to be the big old bully. We read it in Deuteronomy, it's for our good. You go look at Israel and the examples that they had. Every time they walked away from God, what happened? It didn't get better for them. Go read Judges, how many times they walked away from God and the same thing kept happening. They walked away from God, went to captivity. Prayed to God, God saved them, had a good time of peace, walked away from God, captivity. Over and over and over again. How about your own life? How many times do you say, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to repent to God. You pray, you bow down, you feel really good. You walk out the door, go right back to where you were at and feel miserable for the next 6 months to a year till you get it right again. Or till you say you get it right. And you never actually make that change. If God's God, you'll make that change. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What that means is you have to actually repent. It's not just I say I repent. What does it say you have to do? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I like checklists. I like to know step by step what I exactly have to do. Guess what? God gave me a checklist of exactly what I have to do if I want to turn my life to God. You have to humble yourself, deny yourself. You have to pray. You have to talk to God. You have to ask for that repentance, that forgiveness, seek his face, and turn from the wicked way. It means you got to get rid of the stuff that's holding you back and turn to God. It's literally as simple as it can be. But why do we make it difficult? I don't know. We can come up with a bunch of answers. I could give you a list of answers as to why. You know what the truth is. You know what your reason is. And it's the same reason that you've been holding on to forever. So what's the question? So what's going to be the tipping point? Does God have to take your health away from you? Does God have to kill your child? Does God have to strip you down to absolutely nothing? If that's what it's going to take, God will do it. He's done it before. But why are we pushing God to that point? Amen. Why do we force God to do the drastic thing when we could just choose to follow him? Yeah. It's hard to understand the forgiveness and love of God, but it's clear to see in the Bible. Yeah. It's clear to see exactly what he's going to do. I cannot truly understand who God is, but I can understand exactly how he operates because he told me exactly how he's going to operate. So why do I always get surprised when God does exactly what he's telling me that he's going to do? Why do I act like such the victim when God says it's your own fault that you did it? Amen. Why do I sit there and think, well, it's not my problem that I'm not saved yet. It's not my problem that I haven't turned my life to God yet. It's not my problem that everything is crumbling around us. It's not my problem that I have family members who are dying and going to hell. It's not my problem that our church is falling away, that our work is falling away. It's not my problem. If it's not you, then you're blaming everybody else and you're better than them. Can you really say it's not your fault? Because it is your problem. It's still your problem, but is it your fault? And if we're not doing what we said for God, if we're not living our life for God, it's our fault. Then those who died, who passed away for many years, who fought for the rights we have right now, fought for the freedom, fought for the ability to serve God the way he did, died in vain. That means Jesus Christ died in vain. How many of us want to put that on our conscience? Well, if you don't like it, then I'm sorry to tell you, you don't believe who God is. Because, I mean, if I'm wrong, please, show me in the Word of God where I'm wrong. Because I got verses for everything that I'm saying right now. So you tell me I'm wrong, show me in the Word of God, and I'll say, amen, let's do this. But right now, I see that either God's God and we follow him, or God's not God and we don't. It's that simple. Either you're a vessel of honor or dishonor. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Actually, you know, we're going to skip that. Turn to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. How many of us want to dwell on that holy hill with God? He tells you exactly how to do it. That's literally as clear as possible. He says, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is commandments? Well, read the word of God. You'll know his commandments. You know his commandments are true. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Guess what? The word of God isn't changing. He's not coming up with new rules. It's been settled since heaven. It's been settled since eternity. It's not going to change. Why do we keep thinking God's going to change? God will make it easier for us. No, he made it as easy as possible. It's not changing. You have to accept it or not. God doesn't make special occasions and special rules for you. You are not special. And if nothing else, the fact that we are under grace, have a New Testament church, it's as special as it can be. He literally made it special for us because we could be still under the law. And how many of us would like to live under that law? Life would be a whole lot different if we were living under the law. We take the grace of God and make an excuse to do whatever I want. No, God still has the same standards. He's just being a little bit more patient with us. And I'm thinking his patience is probably going to start running out soon. Because if we're not willing to do what he says, he'll get us out and get somebody else in that's going to do it. If you're not willing to step up, he'll kick us out and he'll find somebody else to do it. You look at Elijah. Elijah was so down on himself saying, I'm the only one left. God said, I have 7,000. I don't need you, but I have something for you to do. God does not need you. He needs people, but he does not need you specifically. So don't get yourself so caught up thinking, well, I'm so good, God needs me. No, God will find somebody else better than you. He's given you the opportunity to be a part of it. God doesn't need us. We need him, and we need his grace to show us. Amen. That's all it is. It's not anything special, because guess what? We can't do anything good. Turn to Romans chapter 8, or chapter 7. Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me and was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You have nothing to do with the goodness of God. Amen. It's God working through you. You are just a vessel. You are a tool that he uses. What happens when you get a broken tool, a tool that stops working? You throw it out and you get a new one. How many of us have been sitting there breaking down and God's getting ready to throw us out and get new ones? Guess what? He can throw out the Church of Springfield and get a new church. We don't have to be the ones that last until the end, but we can be. Amen. If we choose to be. If we deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. If we want to be the ones that dwell on the holy hill. If not, God will get rid of us. So the question is God God? Because if it is, we will endure until the end. If not, he'll get rid of us. And we will be the ones that stand before him saying, man, I had the opportunity, but I failed. How many of us want to be that person? Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We're not going to go read it, but Amos 6:1 says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. How comfortable have we been for so long? How comfortable has this church been just maintaining cruise control, just going along like nothing's that big of a deal? How many of us have lost all urgency when it comes to Christ? Romans chapter 13 says, it is high time to awake out of sleep. How many of us have been sleeping for far too long? It's time to wake up and either get in or get out, because that's the only options you got. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's simple, verse 1, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We have every witness, example, teaching, and preaching that we need. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have everything we need. So if you need more, you're not getting it. God gave you everything that you need. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to run the race, get rid of that weight, and run it? Or are you just going to say, it's too hard, can't do it no more? Guess what? If it's too hard, it's because you are weak and you chose to be weak. It's because you chose to make it harder on yourself. God didn't make it hard on you. You make it hard on yourself. We have an example. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Jesus Christ is called the shepherd and bishop of our souls. You know what a shepherd does? It leads. The sheep follow exactly with the footsteps that the shepherd leads them. Our shepherd should be Jesus Christ. Here's a question. Do you follow his steps? He literally left us, it says, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Well, I don't know what to do in my life. I don't know where I need to start. I don't know where I'm screwing up. Well, get into the Word of God, read it, and see how you line up with Christ. If you line up anywhere besides right along step with Christ, you're doing it wrong, and you need to get it figured out. If you're going the opposite way of the shepherd, you need to get it figured out because you're going the wrong place. If this church is going the wrong place, we need to get it figured out, or we're going to get kicked out. Because you know what happens to a sheep that wanders away from the fold? It gets eaten. It gets killed. How many of us are going to get killed because we're not willing to take that step right along with Christ? It's as simple as that. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. How many of us, our desire is to seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord? Is that your desire today? If it is, great. What are you doing to get that desire? What are you doing to fulfill that desire? Delight thyself in the law of the Lord, and he will give thee desires of thine heart, Psalm 37 says. So if your desire is that, what are you doing with it? Because you can say, my desire is to serve God. My desire is to be the greatest church member I've ever been, greater than even Paul himself. Well, guess what? Paul was nothing but a man saved by God who did what God said. You can be greater than Paul. This church can be the greatest church that has ever existed. This work can be greater than it ever was. But we have to do something about it. Amen. We can't just keep sitting maintaining. Jerusalem, Church of Jerusalem maintained for a little bit. What did God do? He sent a man named Saul and got them going. Is it going to take a Saul coming to kill us to get us to move? Or are we just going to be comfortable here, falling asleep at ease in Zion until God is either done with us or gives us the kick in the pants that we need? Well, guess what? God shouldn't have to give us the kick in the pants. He's gave us the word of God. He told us exactly what to do. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. How hard is that to do? Well, what are his commandments? First off, you got to get saved. You then got to get baptized. You got to join New Testament church. You got to study the word of God. You got to go to church. You have to do exactly what God has lined out in the whole New Testament. System of doctrines and practices. Just do it exactly what the Bible says. It's that simple. I don't need some man to explain it to me. I don't need some guy with a fancy degree to tell me exactly what that looks like. I have God to do that. And you'll have the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you exactly what you need to do. Quit making it harder. Quit coming up with these excuses as to why not. Because if either God is God and you serve God, or God's not God and you don't serve him. It's that simple. So the question is, turn to 1 Kings 18 one more time. First Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Are you willing to give an answer right now? The people weren't willing to give an answer. Are you willing to give an answer? Because you're going to either give an answer now or in eternity, and your answer can vary drastically right here and now compared to in eternity. Because right here and now, whatever your answer is, you can change it for the better. In eternity, you can't. It's over. It's done. You don't get a second chance. I think of James chapter 4, verse 17. Them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many times do we just keep piling sin on our life, keep shoveling more and more sin onto our things that weigh us down when we don't have to? God gave us the rule book. God told us exactly what to do. Is a man so clothed unless he strive lawfully, Timothy says. God gave us the rule book. You know exactly what you have to do. Sometimes you just got to study the rule book and do what God tells you to do. How many of us are willing to give an answer? If God is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Who are you following today? It's either God or not God. There's no back and forth. And if it's not God, you know it. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, he told Saul. You know who you are serving right now. You know where this church is heading. You know where this work is going. Are we willing to just let it go by the wayside? Because it's fun for right now, but it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter now, it will never matter, and we should just close it up right now and move on. Because there's better things I could do with my life than go to church three times a day in a church that I get yelled at all the time. There are better things that I could do, more happy things in my flesh that I can do. So if it doesn't matter, then what are we doing here? It has to matter, or it's going to be gone. Let's all stand. Can I ask the song leader come? What number?